Okay, Galatians chapter 5. We're continuing on. Okay, as the Apostle Paul is addressing the condition of the church is there in Galatia, okay, and he's bringing to their attention concerning the damage that was done, okay, by that law, which works for the moral code. And the Apostle Paul is making contrast here between the being led of the Spirit and being led of the law. And he shows also that expressing this contrast, he's also showing the contradiction that exists between these two kingdoms and between these two powers. Okay, around verse 12, he talks about, I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Okay, which, of course, he's just repeating himself there, what he said earlier in the beginning of his letter to Galatia. Okay, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any a gospel unto that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that's, again, that's a serious statement. Okay, but accursed has to do with, again, being ensnared by their own disillusionment. Okay, the disillusionment of the precept and the moral code, okay, and those powers that work with it. Because the moral code is connected to the flesh, and the flesh is connected to Satan. Okay, being connected to Satan, you're under the influence and behavior of his oath. Okay, which then would make an individual, okay, the children of the devil. Okay, as Jesus was addressing the Pharisees during his time, he says, "You're of your father, the devil." Now, the Pharisees, in their appearance, they looked no different than anybody else. Okay, but the knowledge which they were embracing, it was not bringing the people faith, but it was challenging the moral code of the people. And the moral code has to do with that which has to do with the scales of one's behavior. Okay, and the scales of one's behavior, which is within that moral code, okay, is a combination of not only the signature of the individual, okay, but also one's traditions and customs, associations, the upbringing, the education. Okay, as well as one's tongue or race. Okay, all these things is a combination and mixed within a moral code. Okay, and this begins to direct a person's perception, okay, or their so-called reality of life. And the Pharisees were living the reality of their lives is centered upon that power. And so did that of the Sadducees. And the scribes and the lawyers of that time. And Jesus was in confrontation with that kingdom. And that's why he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." Okay, now that word woe, is an emphasis, okay, of great mischief, a judgment, a great trial, okay, will accompany your perception of life. Okay, of course, which ultimately is the lake of fire. But in chapter 1, yea, the Apostle Paul, okay, says, now he laid the foundation of truth in the hearts of the people. And that's when he begins his epistle saying, Paul, an apostle, okay, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Now, and then he says in verse 10 of chapter 1, I'm bringing you up to this point where I can show you the contrast. Okay, for do I now persuade men or God? Now, the word persuade has to do with you're working within the institution of that perception, okay, which addresses the issues and relationships, okay, the circumstances of life. Okay, those things which address those things which I just mentioned, okay, you will find in the precept of that first covenant. Okay, and the law was added in order to show the discrepancies that exist within a man's perception of life. If you want to disentangle yourself from the snares of your own moral code, you must crucify it, or to mortify the deeds of the flesh, as Paul brings out in Colossians. To mortify the deeds of the flesh means to be crucified with Christ. Okay, and that is putting to death the image of Satan. Okay, so instead of beholding the image of Satan in your behavior of life, which we'll be reading here in a moment, okay, we will be interpreting things from the behavior of the oath of the Lord. Okay. So he says, I would that they were even cut off. And it says, and that also he brings out in chapter 1 is concerning those, he calls them a perversion that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay, so instead of being the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the gospel of Baal. Okay, Baal addressed the pleasures, the peace and security of the pleasures of man. Okay, where Adam would feel in control, not Adam, the first, our first father, the flesh. Okay, but Adamites in general. Okay, that the moral code, okay, would address these things. Okay, but they're not for faith. Okay, God gave us a new knowledge for faith, not that of the moral code. So then he says, I would that they were cut off. Okay, and now I'm jumping up here to chapter 5. I would they were cut off, that because the precept of the law breaks the bone of faith. Okay, the precept of the law breaks the bone of faith. Okay, if you struggle in your conscience, then you will grow weak. Okay, and you will not be able to walk. Okay, as the angel disengaged Jacob's hip bone. Okay, to where he was halted. Okay, but then when the Jacob embraced the angel then blessed him. Okay, remember, embracing is an important word because you're coming in contact with the fire. You're coming in contact with the spirit. You're touching the spirit. Okay, by coming in contact with the spirit, okay, you rule with God and men as a prince. And that's what we are. We're called priests. Okay, called born kings, called priests. By embracing that of the spirit, you will rule over a kingdom. Okay, and all things, okay, will be subject to you, okay, in the name of Christ. Okay, but as long as you walk on the broken leg, okay, it will halt you. Okay, there is no advancement. So the precept of the law breaks the bone of faith, okay, and it scatters the confidence. Okay, and we can see also through the book of the prophets, through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, about the bleached bones. Jeremiah prophesied concerning Jerusalem that the temple will be destroyed. Okay, once the glory and the praise of the earth, okay, was now a place of darkness and reproach to the kingdom of God. Okay, that destruction of Jerusalem and its temple would be imminent. Okay, upon the arrival of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, and even Nebuchadnezzar would even defile the land. Okay, by digging up the graves. Okay, and scattering the bones. Okay, those that break the covenant have their bones scattered, okay, which is defiling the land or the flesh. Okay, as Apostle Jude brings out Peter, they defile the flesh, despise dominion. Okay, so they break the bone, okay, and they live by the moral code. So those spoilers are defiling the land as bleached bones upon the ground. Okay, and then he also said the word trouble, verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you, which we read earlier. Because of false knowledge makes the heart fret against God to conceal the conscience with false and by false justifications. A false justification, okay, is knowledge that's it's born out of the moral code, okay, to hide your conscience from, okay, or to conceal your conscience from anything that would be derogatory, okay, or indifferent. And this is what Adam did when he heard the voice of God as God entered into the garden. Okay, he concealed himself, and then he was full of false justifications. Okay, the next thing Paul brings out in verse 13 is a liberty. Okay, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And liberty, which means grace, frees the heart to reason for faith. Okay, that which is of the treasures of the heart. If the treasures of the heart be full of the knowledge of God, okay, then it works faith and confidence in the ears of those that believe. Okay, but if the heart is full of treachery, okay, and full of false justifications, or owning one own logic with the aspiration, okay, then the soul is full of darkness, and its treasures, okay, work in fretting, okay, and fear in those that hear. Okay, so while one, liberty frees the heart to reason for faith, Okay, while the law tethers the soul to the view of frailty to free you to sin. It justifies, that is false justification, it justifies the conscience of the sinner, okay, to continue to pursue on in their ignorance, okay, in their aspiration. That's false justification. But then Paul warned also, see, verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, okay, that is by the precept, because you're measuring one precept with another, or the moral code challenging another moral code, aspiration against aspiration, principle against principle, okay, and covetousness with covetousness. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed to be not consumed one another. Okay, and that is that death will accompany the moral code. Okay, because the bite and devour has to do with reducing its power. To bite and devour. Okay, to reduce its power. Okay, and changing the image. So by the precept of the moral code, see, death will rule the heart by carnal things. And the flesh carries the image of death in it, which we'll be reading about. But then he said, walk in the Spirit, verse 16, okay, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, now, walking in the Spirit, again, has to do with, now we have to look in contrast of this. Okay, walking in the Spirit or to be led of the Spirit. Okay, let's look at this in contrast first, and then you can understand more fully what it means to be led of the Spirit. Okay, but just say, let's be led of the law. In contrast, I'm just going to use that for an example. Okay, those that are led of the law. So to be led of the law is to use the record of Moses and precept. Okay, that's what it means to be led by the law. To be led of the law is to use the record of Moses and precept. Okay, this dictates your perception and your behavior. So now the contrast and the contrary to that is to be led of the Spirit. So led of the Spirit is the record of Christ. Okay, in the tools of the second covenant. So faith makes the conscience pure so we can express faith. When the conscience is defiled, it continually spews out its own frailty. It wants to challenge frailty and match frailty with frailty. And Paul says, those that compare themselves among themselves, in Corinthians there, are not wise. Okay? That is not the direction of the Spirit. The direction of the Spirit is not in the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world always compares, okay, it's the priorities of one's moral code or self-determination, matching that with another moral code and self-determination. And then by these comparisons, okay, the probabilities are weighed on the scale of the moral code, okay, and then the selection is made in order to continue to, in order to keep the God code active and increasing, okay, whatever is convenient. Now, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. You got two kingdoms here in verse 17, the flesh of the moral code, okay, and the Spirit, the grace of God. Okay, we're to live by the grace of God. Okay, the rhythm of the Spirit, the rhythm of the invisible kingdom is what we live by. Okay, and our confidence is in the throne. Okay, but those that live according to the flesh, okay, have to covet after evil things, okay, in order to maintain some kind of logic of their own stability. Okay, and that's why you say careerism, okay, is a logic of one's own stability. Okay, thinking, okay, now careerism is that you're putting confidence within a particular rhythm that you feel within the future will still be issuing the same substance for your peace and security that you have now. Okay, but that again is an illusion of life, because even a farmer can lives in doubt of the next season. Okay, will it be a fruitful season or be a season of drought? Okay, and it's the same thing with any kind of industry, whether it's banking or real estate, okay, or pharmaceutical or, you know, or medical, whatever it is. Okay, there is no stable in the kingdom of the flesh, because as the kingdom of flesh decays, so also the hope. But the kingdom of Spirit is eternal, and so also is the hope. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The invisible against the visible, and the visible against the invisible. The rhythm of the flesh against the rhythm of the Spirit. Okay, and the flesh lusts. Okay, the word, the same language that the Apostle James used. Now, James, which is with Jesus. Right, the same language, the word lust right there, has to do with that. There's a force and a power of mobility. Okay, within that kingdom, there's a force and a power of mobility. That's what the God Code does, see? The presence of the God Code in all nature, okay, is that force for its mobility or for its existence, as a seed does to a tree. Okay, or the bulb to the flowers. Okay, or the corn to the crop. Okay, there's a force of mobility for its increase, for sustainability. Okay, but the sustainability is only for the season, as that of the moral code. The moral code and sustainability is only with carnal things, which upon the death, one loses his sovereignty and all his works, okay, are burned, because the wages of sin is death. Verse 17 again, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And so he says, and these are the contrary. But as all of Paul's letters bring to our attention, okay, he brings contrast, okay, light and darkness. This is Satan's pattern. This is God's pattern. Okay, and the word contrary right there, not only is within the contrast, but the hostility that exists between these two kingdoms, okay, as to rival or to dominate. In the kingdom of Satan wants to dissolve and to destroy the truth. And the kingdom of God wants to dissolve and destroy Satan's works. Okay, because the kingdom of God is built upon Satan's ashes, and the ashes and his works of his kingdom. Okay, it's a powerless influence. Okay, that its presence is defiling. Okay, it's a powerless kingdom, it's a powerless influence, but its presence is defiling. It's like a corpse. Okay, a corpse has no power, but its presence is defiling. So also is the kingdom of darkness and his offspring. All right. So these are the contrary, the one to the other, as two kingdoms. We coexist, and yet we fight within this dimension. Okay. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Now we can see that there is a restriction of expression. Okay. While as in the kingdom of flesh is accompanied by the power of death. Okay, you cannot do the things that you would, because if you desire to work with the kingdom of darkness, okay, the tools and its products will be consumed in the end. Okay, that whatever kingdom you choose, okay, you're not the sovereign of that kingdom. Okay, you're not the sovereign of that kingdom. God is the sovereign. He is the Lord God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, over the kingdom which He has provided. Okay, for our existence and expression. Okay, and then there's the other kingdom. Okay, the kingdom of death, the kingdom of Satan, sin, and death. Okay, it's either that you assign your sovereignty to work with one kingdom so that you cannot do the things that you would, or you assign yourself to the other kingdom so you cannot do the things that you would. In the kingdom of light, you're restricted from iniquity. In the kingdom of darkness, you're restricted from the kingdom of light. Okay? There's a restriction to both kingdoms. Okay? Those of death cannot penetrate the light. Okay? But those of light have discernment, and they can discern spiritual things, yet they themselves are not discerned of those of darkness. As the Apostle Paul wrote there to the Corinthians. So you cannot do the things that you would. Okay? You're restricted in one of the two kingdoms. So it's better to be free in the kingdom of light and be restricted from sin. Okay, then be free in the kingdom of darkness and restricted from righteousness. You're servants to the one whom you choose to serve. Okay, now in verse 18, he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So again, to be led of the Spirit, okay, is, so the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit is by the record of Christ, as to be led by the law is to use the record of Moses. The record of Moses is the precept which addresses the frailty of man and his shortcomings. Okay, but that which is being the record of Christ addresses our faith. Okay, that with that, okay, we will have our residence in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, as recorded in the books of heaven and citizens of the saints. Okay, now verse 19. And this is even to get more interesting. As we read through here, and we see from verse 18 and 19, okay, we see led of the Spirit. Now we'll be talking about that following here this next verse. or next two verses. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read as it's been recorded here, and then of course then I'll be sharing with you and expounding onto it, okay, in a different flow, okay, but same spirit, just a different flow, you know, for your understanding. All right, so it goes on in verse, again, 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Okay, you're not under sin's yoke. Okay, those that resist grace are always repenting for clarity and for peace of mind. And it shows that there have been severed from the oath of God because of no faith. Okay, it's only those of faith whose oath is joined to the oath of the Lord, as it's also written, is your heart as my heart? Okay, remember the Lord said that, is your heart as my heart? Okay, when Isaiah was prophesying, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Okay, but now how can we rearrange that? How can our thoughts be his thoughts and our ways his ways? Well, that's what faith does, see? Faith puts us in the position, okay, of clarity, okay, and reward. Okay, clarity of thought, okay, and reward, okay, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so if you be led of the Spirit, tethered to the kingdom of the throne, tethered to the kingdom of God, you are not under the law or sin's yoke. So your whole perception and behavior is being changed. Okay, as God circumcises the heart with that knife of truth, okay, your perception of life changes. Okay, and if it's in faith, okay, then covetousness and idolatry and all these other manifestations are subdued. Okay, if your conversion is to the image of Baal, okay, then these other manifestations will continue to surface to dominate you. Okay, in order to make you curse God. Okay, to curse God to his face. Remember, that's what they asked Job to do. Okay, why don't you just curse God? Okay, and that you can enter into your rest. Okay, but of course that's a false rest. Okay, the death of the flesh is a false rest. Okay, you're not under law, he says right here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, and I'll read this first. Okay, adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, envy, or strife, seditions, hearsays. Right, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. As he's reiterating here, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now as we go up and expound this a little bit, because the law only points to the shortcomings of the moral code in the flesh. That's all it does. Okay, when the moral code is preached from the pulpit, okay, the people feel convicted and uneasy in their conscience because the knowledge that's being shared is just addressing their shortcomings, you know, their shortcomings. Okay, but it's not producing faith in the heart. Okay, as the gospels of these certain denominations. Okay, the people every week when they go to church are being buffeted or lashed. Okay, by the knowledge of the moral code. Okay, in order to bring conformity. Or to bring conformity in order to ease the conscience from its weakness, you know, from its defilement, to bring some kind of equity on a scale of the moral code, and that will never happen. Okay? There's only equity with faith. There's no other way. Now, the moral code addresses the conditions of the soul tethered to Satan. And now, these spirits, okay, this tethering and these spirits breed in this knowledge, in the false knowledge. Okay, these spirits breed in the false knowledge. That's what it's called heresies. Okay, these spirits breed in this false knowledge, defiling the soul and conscience to seek closure by, okay, resourcing outside of covenant. Okay, the priesthood of Jesus Christ does not resource outside the covenant because the truth, being the law, okay, keeps us within the restrictions of the covenant so that we will not commit adultery or fornication, spiritual adultery and fornication. Okay, that we don't end up giving ourselves building another house other than the house of Christ. Okay, so by not building with God, okay, the soul then at this point seeks pleasure in the tools of intemperance, not humbleness of faith. Okay, the soul then commits idolatry, as to embrace for confidence and self-determination, and witchcraft as to control circumstances for security, which empowers the imagination, reviling and hatred and variance, that's the reviling the truth and hatred and variance, competing, not building in faith. Competing and not building in faith. That's the kingdom of darkness. Okay? The kingdom of darkness continually rivals and variance and emulation. Now, emulation, which means to, as a form of imitation, okay, to equal, but variance, okay, as to set apart and the challenge. To set apart and a challenge, competing but not building. Okay, the aggressive behavior justified by heresies, okay, begets strife and seditions. Okay, I'm reading right now through here in verse 20 now. It begets strife and seditions. This is Satan's wiles which overthrow those not full of faith. Satan's wiles, okay, which overthrows those whose vessel is not full of faith. Right now, and again, the contrast and in a contrary. Okay, now those which do those things, the kingdom of darkness, they actually deny themselves life. Okay, in other words, as they're a life denier, as the Apostle John said. Okay, not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. That's the moral code, and his brother's righteous, which is a faith. Okay, so hatred. Okay, is a manifestation of murder, a life denier. Okay, as to withhold charity. Okay, when you withhold charity, you're withholding life, because the life of the Spirit is in charity. Okay, charity is made perfect. Herein is love made perfect, as John brings out, the Apostle John brings out there in chapter 4. Herein is love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, that when the eye of the Lord is present to reward your faith, okay, you will increase with his presence. As embracing the angel, as Jacob embraced the angel. Okay, now verse 22, we go on here, but the fruit of the Spirit is, I'm going to read it as it is, and we'll go back and talk about it. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Okay, now this is going to be fun as we go through this, okay, because again we're going to see a very interesting contrast. But just to point out briefly, those books which are being written by those which are not tethered to the oath of the Lord are constantly addressing their shortcomings, okay, by giving certain formulas and rules by precept in order to bring the conscience, okay, to clear the conscience and to bring some kind of equity within the soul, now the moral code. Okay, and that shows that the books that they're writing, addressing the temperance, okay, shows that they've been tethered from it. Okay, they're addressing those things which they're not experiencing. Okay, so they're putting the church in the form of a journey. They says, we must go on a journey to find our perfection. We have to go and dig around till we find a well. Okay, we have to dig till we find life. Okay, now those which are digging for water obviously don't have, you see, a canteen full of water. Okay, they're obviously not already partaking, okay, of the fountain of the Lord, because they're digging a fountain doesn't mean that they does not mean what it means is that they're not drinking a fountain of the fountain which God provided for us, the fountain of life. Okay, they're not drinking of his river. Okay, so but their aggressive nature and the endeavor of it, okay, is prized and honored by those which are the moral code, because those in the moral code are matching the endeavor and the journey with those of the same moral code. In other words, the tares are preaching the gospel of the tares, okay, while the wheat preach the gospel of the wheat. Okay, now the Jesus of the gospel of the tares is the house of Baal. Okay, the Jesus of the house of the tares, okay, or of the tares is the house of Baal. Okay, but those, the gospel of the wheat, okay, is the true Christ. Okay, so love, here, the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit begets a virtue, okay, by these powers. Okay, and he begins here, Paul used the word love right here, okay, because it's the distributing factor of all the other virtues. So all the other virtues is a result of your participation, doxologies, okay, and participation with the government of God. Okay, it's a distributing factor of all the other virtues. So if you want these powers to be manifested within you and carry your soul in peace and rest, okay, then you're going to have to participate, okay, and communicate charity, our true fellowship, the bread of heaven. Okay, not the bread of the tree of this earth, but the tree of life in heaven. Okay, now the spirit begets these in your soul. As you confirm him. See, by confirming him, as you communicate charity. Okay, the spirit distributes all these other virtues in you. Okay, and your joy is full. That's the second thing that followed there. The second word is joy. Remember, Jesus said to his apostles, okay, it's concerning their joy. Okay, the joy of the Lord, okay, which Jesus was communicating there, has to do with the completion of your cycle and the answer to your prayer. The answer that you got through your endurance of faith and patience. Okay, and that will come next, the peace and long suffering. Okay, so here, okay, your joy is full as you see the evident fruit blossoming forth because of your endurance. Okay, the endurance of time, patience, endurance of time, the passage of time, and endurance of contrariness. Okay, this is what makes you an overcomer. Okay, these things make you the overcomer. Okay, the overcomer is not some kind of it's not based on a volunteer system. Okay, of selecting a certain activity. Okay, like a one-time deal, like buying a ticket to watch a movie. Okay, it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. Okay, now the Spirit. Now here he says, he's talking about the Spirit. The Spirit carried you through each cycle in His peace. Now remember, the peace accompanies the transition, okay, so that our behavior continually reflects Him no matter what stage you're at, whether little children, young men, or fathers. Okay, and the Apostle John brings that out as concerning little children writing to you that sin not. Okay, then he talks about, I write unto you, fathers, because knowing Him this from the beginning, and he says, I write unto you, young men, or written to you, young men, because you're strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Okay, so the Apostle John is addressing these three stages of perfection. Okay, but not to remain as an infant in your understanding, as the Apostle Paul says, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. Okay, don't take offense, he says, okay, in the contrariness or contradiction, okay, of the sinner, okay, but be of understanding. Okay, and understanding has to do with setting order the knowledge of God so that you can practice this with wisdom. So the Spirit carried you through each cycle in His peace, as His knowledge took root in you and settled the soul, okay, bringing all the imagination to captivity to faith. And that's what Paul says in Corinthians. Okay, and faith. So long-suffering manifests in the endurance of contrariness over long periods, and gentleness, okay, as you're not agitated to the envy by the aspirations of sinners. Okay, the agitation. Okay, the agitation is not that which is of truth for faith, okay, but it has to do with contrariness, okay, to impose one's moral code or principle, okay, upon your perception. Okay, the principle of the moral code always challenges its counterpart, okay, as concerning lashing on their principle at the moral code, the demands change. Okay, you'll find this in any institution. If you were to go from, just say, one church to another church, okay, what you hear from the pulpit of one denomination is going to have a slight favor in a different denomination pulpit, okay, and they will be beating the moral code with the principle of their own precept, okay, in order to beat, see the will, okay, into reciprocation by that knowledge. But that's not the will, okay, using or resourcing the grace of God in its clarity. Okay, and what it's doing is beating the will to reciprocate, okay, in will worship. Okay, the bending of the will to that challenge, see, but is not the fruit of God. Okay, because the Adamites are capable, okay, of believing anything and achieving anything, okay, that of course within limits of their own signature and their capabilities. Okay, so here the gentleness is the opposite of that agitation. Okay, as you're not agitated to envy by the aspiration of sinners, expressing equity of character is in goodness. Equity of character in goodness. Okay, for you meditate in the holy knowledge for faith to delight God. Our whole life down here is with that perspective of behavior, to delight the Lord, to please God. So meekness is the opposite of being loud and a loud personality. Okay, and Moses was the meekest man of his times because he did not have a loud personality. Now Korah had a loud personality. Okay, and Korah used his personality, okay, in order to direct the hearts of the people, because the people are people always gravitate, okay, to loud sounds. Okay, like when you hear music, right? When kids drive down a street in their cars and put on the boombox in the vehicle, and you think the rivets will come flying out of the thing because they have it so loud, the vibration of it, you think the wheels will go flat. Okay, but anyway, they drive down the street and play the boombox at that disciple for the purpose of drawing attention to themselves. Okay, so those of that particular caliber are drawn to that sound. Okay, just like a lion. Okay, a lion is attracted, okay, by a rustling of the bushes. Okay, its curiosity draws it over there. Okay, mostly it sounds like it's an animal stuck, okay, or entrapped. Okay, like in a bush. Okay, it attracts the attention. When a hawk is flying in the air, all the birds are silent and still. Okay, that is if they see it. And when a hawk flies through the air, okay, as it's circling around, all of a sudden the trees which were blossoming with the songs of the birds, okay, suddenly fall silent. You kind of wonder, you know, like it sounded like an atomic bomb, you know, went off or something and just sucked all the sound out of the air. But it was very, very silent until the danger is past. Okay, because the eye of the hawk is drawn to movement. Okay, and also those too that are loud, have loud personalities, draw those of like caliber, okay, to that attention, because it looks like something that promises productivity and increase, but all it is a noise. Okay, so meekness is not a loud personality, but a consistency of humbleness and temperance, as the spirit now brings power and equity to all the appetites, which the law can't do. So therefore, the law has no power. The law is powerless. It's not the law that's bringing the temperance. It's the spirit. Okay, so that's what he's saying right here. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. The law is not the empowering factor. The law is absent, okay, of this manifestation. Okay, now in verse 24. Now they that are Christ's, that's ownership. They that are Christ's, we are Christ's, okay, according to the priesthood that we select, the works of faith, okay, and by selecting the works of faith, okay, we are claiming to be under Christ's ownership. So they that are Christ's have done this. They have crucified the flesh, okay, which again has to do with the moral code. Okay, so when he uses the word flesh, he's not talking about the skin of the body, but he is talking about the presence of death, okay, in the moral code. Okay, as we're mortifying these things, okay, which says in Colossians 3:5 brings that out. Okay, because we're risen with Christ, okay, we are mortifying these things. Okay, and that's in chapter 3. Okay, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. I'm reading that right now. Now, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, the earthly tools, the inspirations, okay, that the moral code resources to voice itself, okay, to find equity through. Okay, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Those that refuse the grace of God, which that's what a sinner is. A sinner is a grace resister. Okay, are appointed to the wrath of God. Okay, they refused to provide themselves a gift to give to the King of Kings. When they stand before God on the day of judgment, they have the sinners have no gift to give to the King. And their presence in the courts of the Lord is considered as an offense and trespass. Because only those that possess the treasures of faith in the heart, okay, are allowed in the courts of the Lord. Because it's in the courts of the Lord that there's an equal expression of his light. And light increases light, as darkness increases in darkness. And that's what Jesus says, let the blind leaders of the blind, let them be, for they be blind leaders of the blind. Okay, darkness increases darkness, light increases light. Okay, and false knowledge cannot increase one's faith. Okay, and neither can the knowledge of God, cripple your faith. Okay, in fact, increases your faith. The knowledge of God increases it. Now, they that are Christ's, those which are of His under His ownership, stewardship, and house, have crucified the flesh. So, underline the word flesh there, highlight that. Okay, and put the word moral code over that. Okay, or the word flesh there. Okay, and the flesh, the moral code with all its powers. Okay, the affections and lusts, the powers that manifest Satan's voice. Okay, these are the powers that manifest Satan's voice. Okay. So the God code working with the moral code equals death. The God code working with faith equals life. That's a simple formula, and you could even write that down over that. The God code plus the moral code equals death. The God code plus faith equals life. Now, those which use the God code with the moral code, okay, but claim themselves to be of the house of Christ, okay, fall into another category of hypocrite, okay, because all they're doing is giving the moral code a facial, okay, or giving it another word for that, a makeover. Okay, it's giving the makeover. Okay, it's like Satan putting on a mask that looks just like Jesus. Okay, Satan likes to play trick or treat, okay, with the minds of people. So Satan likes to get into, you see, robes. He likes to dress himself up like Jesus of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, and he likes to pretend to be the voice of the Lord. And he likes to whisper, okay, those things which will affirm one's own moral code. That's the voice of Wilson. Okay, it takes on, its inspiration has the appeal, okay, of a challenge to the moral code, because he will speak of reproofs, okay, concerning one's perceptions. But he will not bring the soul into obedience of faith and covenant. But he will challenge the intemperances of your soul, okay, to make you feel, that you're practicing true religion, okay. But he will provide some form of inspiration, not the sanctified inspiration of grace, okay, but the unsanctified inspiration, okay, that again works through the window of the imagination. They give the person a feeling, okay, of self-worth, okay, a buffeting, okay, speaking in reproofs as to buffet the will for the purpose of reciprocation and will worship. This is how Satan approached Jesus when he said, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. I will reward your obedience if you reciprocate and worship me." Okay, bend your will, bow the knee, accept me as a greater one, okay, which is idolatry, okay, and I will reward you. Okay, that's will worship, okay, the bending. Okay, but there has to be something present to bend the will towards for reciprocation. Okay, and will worship, which also works with the honor of man. Okay, the honor of man works within that system of thinking. Okay, if we live in the Spirit, which is the kingdom of God. Now, this is the rhythm of the Spirit we talk about. If we live in the kingdom of God, so I highlight the word Spirit there in verse 25. Okay, in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, or put the word kingdom of God over that, kingdom of God. Okay, that's the rhythm of the Spirit. If we live, if our resourcing is within this kingdom, let us therefore walk in the kingdom. Now, how do we walk? Okay, well, we walk in the light of your priesthood. So highlight the word walk, and you put the word priesthood over that. Okay, we're living by faith. Okay, in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're living by faith in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and we're ordering our perception and our behavior of life, okay, by the rhythm of the Spirit, so that we don't try to read the will of God in circumstances. If you read the word, try to read the will of God through circumstances, then you're going to be stumbling. Okay, this is what Judas Iscariot did. Okay, Judas Iscariot tried to read the will of God through circumstances, and he went out and hung himself. Okay, but Peter, okay, afterwards, that's why Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren." So a true conversion, okay, a true conversion, okay, manifests a certain consistency of faith, charity, and truth, okay, all these other virtues. A consistency, that's a true conversion. Okay, a false conversion, okay, just has to do with that. Has to do with a person leans to a form of philosophy just by its appeal. Okay, it's a false conversion. They're only leaning towards something because of its appeal or its promise. They, I'll go to this church because they preach prosperity and health. Okay, so are you doing this because of exchanging and fellowship with the Spirit of God? Okay, are you doing this for the purpose of increasing your own aspirations? So you can see the two kingdoms working there again. Yeah, a lot of these preachers, okay, are preaching the gospel of Baal, okay, because it addresses concerning man's peace and security, okay, and trying to resolve his circumstances, okay, utilizing this knowledge, okay, not the knowledge of truth, but the knowledge of another kingdom. If we live in the Spirit, he says in verse 25, which again, if we live in the kingdom of God, let's walk in this priesthood, okay, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit, okay, in the fullness of that. And now he says, now Paul gives a warning here. Again, in contrast, let us not do this though. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, okay, in your priesthood. Okay, our priesthood is not to covet after the things, see, that man honors. We're to covet after things that that please our Father in heaven. Okay, and it's only faith that pleases him. Okay, it's only faith that pleases him. So let us not be desirous of vainglory, that which man honors. That is because what will you honor, it will provoke. Satan will use the things that man honors to provoke and excite the envy. And okay, so he says that's what is the provoking or provocation. Okay. The treasures of darkness always are communicating, and its communication is always in forms of provocation. Okay, not to good works, okay, but rather to emulate. Okay. False knowledge provokes to emulation and variance and strife. That's what we just read earlier. And to lasciviousness. Okay, and all forms of intemperances, wantonness, riotousness. Okay, those things which the moral code continually wants to express itself to control, to dominate, or to destroy. That's to remove anything that they feel is going to be a barrier to the principle and aspiration. Because anything that's a barrier to the principle and aspiration is called the devil. Okay, in one other words, they're working with the devil, and anything that's bad, they're calling it the devil. Because they have no discernment. They can't distinguish between the bitter and the sweet. Okay, as Paul brings out. So let us not be desirous of vainglory, okay, provoking one another and envying one another. Okay, the priesthood of Christ is not for the purpose of one showy display of one's aspiration. Okay, we are to provoke each other unto charity, okay, to good works. Okay, we're not to provoke each other unto variance and emulation, or to excite the imagination to envy, or also as concerning competition. Okay, and these things are nothing more than distractions of your faith. Chapter 6. Now, brethren, if a man, now the word if right there has to do with concerning the state of his growth. Okay. Hey, if a man, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. We're on chapter 6, verse 1 now. Highlight the word fault there. Okay, a fault is something also would be identified as being short-sighted. Okay, or short-sighted, or taken captive, okay, by a distraction. Taken captive by a certain distraction, the aspiration, or the envy. Okay, this is a snarement, okay, or one of Satan's wiles. Okay, Satan uses people to shoot arrows of false knowledge at the righteous, and God uses the righteous to shoot the arrows of truth at the sinner. Okay, because the truth that we speak, though, is empowered by God, will penetrate their false justifications. Okay? But the knowledge that the sinner uses, okay, which is from the treasures of their darkness, is for the purpose of trying to depreciate the knowledge of God, okay, or to sort it, or to isolate it unto madness. They either say that the things of God is madness, okay, or it needs to be restricted to this your church, or you need to restrict your beliefs just to yourself. Okay, the kingdom of darkness wants to isolate. It wants to do that first. It wants to separate, then it wants to isolate, and then it wants to continue to draw down through doubt. Okay. There are certain steps that Satan will use, okay, in order, okay, to overthrow the Christian, okay, which has to do with through false knowledge. Okay, make a person doubt God's love towards them, number one. Number two, as concerning feeling that they have sinned the unrepenting sin, okay, that they can't repent of, and that they'll be isolated from God, or also get the person to the point of saying that there is no God, Okay, that there is no God, or God is not involved, or God doesn't care. Okay, so there's different steps. That's why he's a thief. He's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan is using the God code in him with his wisdom in order to destroy, while we use the God code with faith in order to build. So Satan, through his vessels, the vessels of disobedience, continually want to put the stumbling blocks before the eyes of the saints to show that they're not worthy of God, that God is not involved, God will not answer that prayer, God will not do things for them. When in reality, God is already doing these things. Okay? The reality of it is rather self-evident. As we continually partake of the good word of God and experience the powers of the world to come. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay, being short-sighted and captive, captive to a form of default, okay, false knowledge, okay, you which are spiritual, those which are full of faith, you can restore. We restore in meekness of truth. Okay, you don't restore through principle upon principle. It will never happen because it's throwing fire on fire. Okay, you restore through the meekness of truth. Restore such a one, and he says here, in a spirit of meekness, to nurture, but not to discipline, to nurture. Okay, in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted or challenged by Satan's wiles. Okay, because Satan is a roaring lion, and when he smells decay within the soul, it attracts him right to you. Okay, like a flesh fly. A flesh fly, okay, follows the circuits of the wind, okay, until it picks up the smell of a carcass, and then it immediately goes in that direction, okay, like a vulture. The vulture carefully scans the horizon, okay, and when it smells carrion, okay, will immediately be attracted to that location as a crow, okay, looking for the roadkill, you know, the next roadkill. Okay, well, Satan's the same way. He's looking for the next roadkill. Okay, whereas where there's an injury. Okay, and where there's infection taking place, instead of the application, okay, of truth for your medication, okay, the wound continues to fester until it has gangrene, and of course then it attracts these flesh flies. Okay, and so is a soul, okay, that is not building with the kingdom of God. Okay, your prayer life is absolutely essential, okay, mostly in these last days. Okay, in the second, eighth week, as we're in these last times, we're in the last day already, the seventh day, but now we're in the last times, okay, as was prophesied by Paul and John. Okay, in these last times, okay, there's going to be more and more contrast, okay, manifested between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Okay, and that manifestation is going to be so evident that when the rapture happens, okay, when the rapture happens in the darkness of night, okay, as we're released from this dimension by the presence of the Lord, okay, even the sinners will see the face of the Lord, okay, as he looks within this dimension for a half an hour, his face is going to be there, okay, it's going to be a huge face. I mean, all dimensions, all around the world, they'll be able to see the face of the Lord. Okay, they will know, okay, that some great event. That's why I said, hide us from the wrath of him that sits upon the throne, from the face of that Lamb. Hide us from him. Okay, well, how do they know about him? Because the second, eighth week, okay, the doctrine of the gospel in the second, eighth week, okay, is going to reach the ears of all people, okay, and of course all cultures and all places, high and low. Okay, let's go back here, okay, to chapter 6, verse 1, and we'll get ready to close up here. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay, a defaulty priesthood, particularly, okay, a sin, but not unto death. Okay, you which are spiritual, okay, being that which is full of faith, okay, not spiritual in a way of high-mindedness, okay, but spiritual in humbleness and consistency. Okay, restore such a one a spirit of meekness to nurture, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, but there's a restriction on this of how much you bear. Okay, as Christians, we are not responsible, okay, concerning the outcome and circumstances of one's life, okay, but those which are elders are responsible to uphold the gospel of Christ. Our responsibility only is only tethered to that, okay, not the other. Now, the false gospel tethers itself to the flesh because that's all it knows, and then they try to give the tethering of the flesh, okay, a makeover of righteousness and true piety, but it's not.
okay? As the Apostle Paul brings out, okay, and Titus, okay, and also James brings out, okay, in James chapter 1, okay, as concerning the caring for the widows and the orphans. But he's talking about those which were in covenant, okay? These which are in covenant is what we're responsible for, not those outside of covenant. Okay? Those outside of covenant have to bear the wrath of God, the rod of God's wrath. We are not to entangle ourselves with the things of the flesh, nor are we to intervene, okay, in God's judgments. Okay, well, we are to assist the righteous, okay, through certain things, as Paul brings out and James brings out, okay, but not to step outside of that. So bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, now we have another law right there. When he says law of Christ, he's not talking about the moral code or Moses. Okay, but he's talking about that which is the law of grace and truth. Okay, which the truth again sets the boundaries which the Spirit works within, okay, in order to bring about regeneration. Okay, right now the Comforter, which has been assigned to us, okay, only works within these restrictions of regeneration. But in the near future, okay, and talk about at the end of millennium, when he enter into the 10th week, when death and hell has been cast in the lake of fire. Okay, then we're going to enter that fullness, and that law, okay, which was restricted just for the work of regeneration, will now be removed, okay, so that we can enter into the fullness, like into the fullness of our Father, as a cup of water is poured into the ocean. Why, we become a part of that ecosystem. Okay, we're part of a living ecosystem. Okay, right now we're tethered to that. Okay, our tethering is like with straws, okay, but we are drinking of that river of life. So bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And now verse 3. Okay, now, for if a man think himself to be something in regards to the moral code, when he has nothing in reality concerning work of regeneration, he's only deceiving himself, or he's just putting himself in a position. Okay, a position of authority, whereas they're not qualified or competent to perform that. So in verse 4, he goes on, let every man prove of himself his own work in the priesthood. Okay, and that priesthood receives the honor. It's the priesthood that receives the honor, okay, not the moral code. So let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Okay, because we are not encroaching, okay, upon another's faith, but you're assisting it, but not encroaching in it. Okay, and that's how we bear one another's burdens. So we bear one another's burdens by the bridge, but not by encroachment. Okay, by the bridge of your faith, okay, the bridge of charity, by the bridge of your prayers. It's really fascinating, and it's a marvel, okay, of how quickly God answers prayer, okay, and brings, you know, his resolve, the equity of the soul, okay, of what he does within your inner self is also what he does within even your immediate circumstances of life, okay, of how God intervenes, okay. It's a marvel, okay, when you see him intervene in such a rapid way, okay, but it's even a greater marvel too as you see things unfold later on, which is the result of your prayer that you prayed maybe a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 10 years ago. Things that you prayed 10 years ago are suddenly, you could say, manifested or fulfilled, okay, which is a great marvel. Okay. Let's go back here now, verse 5. So let every man shall bear his own burden. Now that's what we just talked about earlier. Our crouchment. Okay, we don't have an accrouchment of opinion or principle, but we do have a bridge of faith, charity, and prayer. Okay, because prayer is our weapon, faith is our life, and charity is our friend. All right, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now in verse 6, as we wind up here, let him that is taught in the word communicate. Okay, now taught, and this is what we're receiving right now. The instruction which we're presently receiving, we will communicate. Okay, we're going to communicate that in our doxology. Okay, the sacrifices of praise. Okay, the sacrifices of praise. Okay, this is the crown of his grace, okay, which is provided for us to reflect him with. Okay, so that the more you reflect him, the image you take on. Okay, the image you take on in your perception. Okay, the likeness you take on as your behavior. Okay, or examples of that reflection, that the mirror that we are staring into is we're no longer beholding the image of flesh and death, we're beholding the image of light in Christ. So let him that is taught in the word communicate Okay, there's a form of exchange, fellowship, and communion. Communicate. Okay, it's fellowship. Communicate unto him that teaches us in all good things. Okay, and the word good things is that we're talking about tools that bring this equity. Good things. Okay, the tools of the flesh. Okay, may feed the appetites, but it doesn't feed the soul. But the things of the spirit, which are good in the sight of God, okay, bring equity, okay, soundness of mind, peace of heart, and rest for your faith.